Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name's Nick Grunniblink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero-G Draft Strategy, and in this podcast, Blake and I are going to talk about the biggest hot shots and have-nots of the last couple of weeks. Let's get it. And of course, I have your friend and my best friend, the small town dreamer with the bar down screamer, Blake Creamer, here with me. Blake, how are you feeling tonight?
Oh my God, you've been watching me play, Nate. Actually, that's one thing I'm known for: big clapper. All right, talking about slap shots. All right, that's my go-to. All right, got good vision too, but can't skate worth a damn. All right, so that's a problem. But yeah, things are going good, man. It's a bittersweet today. You know, we were talking offline, but we're going into the fantasy playoffs here. I've locked up two buys, which is great. I'm stoked on that. But I was also bounced from a keeper league that I'm in, a keeper points league. And yeah, I was kind of sneaking in. I thought I might make the playoffs there. I did a bunch of trades, pick swaps and stuff like that. So I'm looking good for next year, but I was so close, but I got a bunch of injuries in the final week. And you know, that's that. That's fantasy hockey. Oh God, we do all this work and then these guys get injured. Jake, God, what, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Yeah. My matchups went pretty well this week. I had one that I wish would have gone better. I had an outside shot at a third buy out of my four leagues, but secured the buy in Kakupful, secured the buy in the Content Creators League. So I'm feeling good about that. And then the Patron League, I'm in the playoffs. I'll be starting this week. And then the Experts League that we're both in, we'll be kicking that off next week. And we got something to play for there. The Consolation Playoffs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Actually matters for draft pick order for next year. So I'll be gaming those streams just as hard as all the other ones, that's for sure. But yeah, it's been like the playoffs are a little bit week to week, right? Like in any given week, a lot of stuff can happen. But to have got to this point and to have made the playoffs in the three spots where I thought it was possible at the beginning of the year, given the situation I had in the keeper league, no draft picks, I'm pretty happy with it overall. And I'm especially happy, you know, playing against the other content creators and playing in the Kakupful against some of the best competition I've ever personally played against. To have come away with buys in both those spots, that feels pretty good. So yeah, I'm looking back on a good season at this point, and it'll probably get completely marred by how my team's doing the playoffs here in the next few weeks, but you know, that's fantasy hockey, as we say. So
exactly.
Let's move over into newsies. People are not interested in my fantasy hockey teams. They want to know what the newsies are. Thanks, Blake. I appreciate that. That's what a good best friend would say.
That's exactly right.
Let's talk about Vince Dunn, though. Ramping up all nice activities, skating with the team, still considered day-to-day with a UBI. No clear timeline there yet, which is unfortunate because Seattle is one of the few teams that has a really nice schedule this week, including that Monday off night tomorrow for us, probably today for people watching or listening to this. But yeah, you'll have to be a little bit more patient with Vince Dunn, unfortunately. The block party, Alec Martinez, activated off IR, so you can get him back into your lineups for Cats leagues especially. That's where Alec Martinez makes his hay, giving you a leg up in blocks every single week. Over in Calgary, Jacob Markstrom not skating yet. Dustin Wolf has looked pretty good, and could be a viable pickup for a little bit here. The odd part of Calgary's schedule is that they got the Monday here, and then they don't play again until Saturday. They have a Saturday-Sunday back-to-back to round out the week, so it's a bit of an odd schedule, but you might be able to make that work, so you can look Dustin Wolf's way if Markstrom continues to take some time to get back. There was all that, you know, with the contract or with the trade rumors about Markstrom, and he didn't really want to be tossed around the way he was, and so maybe there's a little bit of an FU hidden in here somewhere from Markstrom, and he's
what's that stand for?
I can't say that on this family program.
Okay. But my God, that's what an upstanding citizen you are, Nate.
but yeah, maybe there's a little bit of something to that too. That could mean more time played for Dustin Wolf, but obviously that's just conjecture. Moving over to Arizona, which is also a team with a good schedule this week. They play Wednesday, Friday off nights, and then it's the Sunday, which is the lightest of the heavy nights. So good chance you're getting a lot of games played out of those guys. But Nick Bjugstad is out and being evaluated after being injured in their last game. And somebody else moved up to that top line. Who's that again, Blake?
Don't you hate it how guys always leave the toilet seat up? That's it. That's the joke. It's McBain. Let's get silly.
Right. Jack McBain up on the top line could be a deep league option if you're streaming Yotes. All right, over to Buffalo, and unfortunately we have a fly in the ointment for one of the 0G heroes of the year, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Devin Levi got recalled for the Sabres. I don't know what it means exactly. We've seen, like, I don't know, in Toronto, we've seen Toronto call up guys just to get a few days on the NHL pay list, on the payroll, and they get a big bump in paydays if they do that. So I don't think that's what's going on, though, because Buffalo does open up this week with the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back right away. So I have to assume that if they're calling him up, they've got a reason for it. They're going to get him into one of these games here. And I have to wonder with Buffalo, like, does Buffalo have that much to play for? They're kind of clearly fading out of it. They had a chance, like, to turn some things around.
They still do. I mean, they're 5 points out. But, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, you look at Detroit, though. Detroit's stinky. Oh, my God. They're just holding on to dear life. So 5 points out, I don't know. But, yeah, it's
5 points
move,
out, but 3 points. Three or four teams that they got to jump, which is usually the tougher part of that equation. So, yeah, I'm wondering if things continue to go south for the Sabres, if they just decide that they want to get Levi some more NHL time, and UPL, despite how good he's been, kind of gets, just less volume than we're used to, and that makes him much less fantasy useful. So keep an eye out on what they're doing with Levi in Buffalo. Lastly, in Anaheim, we got Radko Gudas and Mason McTavish both out for the Sunday game here today. So you're going to have to check status for those guys prior to their next game, which comes on Tuesday against Minnesota. And that is it for Newsies. Blake, are you ready for some hot shots?
I'm ready, man. These guys are incendiary. Let's get to biz.
Let's do it. Let's talk about some Chicago Blackhawks off the top. And any discussion of Chicago these days has to start with Connor Bedard. 4 goals, 6 assists, 10 points in his last 5 games, skating over 21 minutes a night. 4th in the league in shot attempts per 60, despite skating that 21-plus minutes. Really terrific stuff from Bedard here. Up to an 81-point pace on the season. And that's a little higher than I thought he'd get to, I'm not going to lie. Kudos to Connor Bedard. Does seem like he's even figuring things out to a greater extent late in the season, which is, in my mind, especially for a rookie, you tend to see rookies fade late in the season because they haven't played the 82-game schedule. But Bedard seems to be getting better, and that's, in my mind, a sign of true greatness. I do think the kid is everything that was promised. And a bag of chips, as we would say. Blake, what are your thoughts on Bedard so far?
I love it. I love this kid. It's exciting for the league. It's exciting for fantasy, right? And I think we all understand that this kid has a ton of headroom as well. Like, even this season, like, if he had anybody to play with on the power play, like, that's, I mean, he's on an 81-point pace. He only has 3 power play goals on the year. What the hell? I mean, damn. He's, you know, he's playing with Nick Foligno out there, the Hulk. I mean, no, this makes no sense. So I am just beyond excited for this kid, what he's able to do, you know, with this team. That's the part that is really impressive to me. So I'm excited for next year. And we were talking a little bit offline, but where do you see Bedard going in drafts next season? Like, based on, I feel like he's going to be able to maintain this, you know, till the end of the year. Maybe not the 10 points in 4 games, but yeah, point per game, easy, I think, for Bedard on the way out here. Where does he go in drafts next season?
I think it depends a little bit on what Chicago does in the offseason, but I have to imagine they're going to use some of that cap space that they've got. I think they're second most in the league in cap space going into next year. I have to imagine that they use some of that cap space next year to put in some players around him. You know, you got guys like Toffoli out there. Steven Stamkos is still out there unsigned. Sam Reinhart's still out there unsigned as of today. God. But Yeah, I'm not expecting either of those two guys to not re-sign with their teams, just given, yeah, Stamkos, the captain, obviously, and then Reinhardt, the season he's had, I think they'll do anything to keep him around. But either way, I do think that they'll find some halfway decent players to play with Connor Bedard in the offseason. I honestly think that we'll be looking at Connor Bedard at the 1-2 turn next season in a lot of leagues. I think he'll get steamed up a lot, and honestly, probably rightfully so. You look at the trajectory of a lot of these other much ballyhooed superstars coming into the league, and they take one season where they're around this point per game, and then the next season they're often running into the 100 plus point range. I think that's totally within the realm of possibility for a guy like Bedard, and I think that he's going to get drafted as if that's a foregone conclusion next year. So it'll be interesting to see, but that's my prediction as of today, March 17th, 2024. All right, let's roll over and let's just talk about Bedard's line mates here. We got to talk about Filip Kurashev, who's got 3 goals, 7 points in his last 5. Nick Foligno has 4 assists in his last 5. They all came in one game, which is pretty interesting. But he has shown some ability. Like, Foligno is on a 44-point pace on the season. Kurashev's on a 56-point pace on the season. Both of them skating big minutes. Kurashev over 20. Nick Foligno around 18.5. The on-ice numbers obviously pretty good for both of them playing with Bedard through this terrific stretch. Kurashev's at 26th in Corsi 4 per 60, 15th in scoring chances 4 per 60, and you got Foligno at 24th in Corsi 4 per 60 and 21st in scoring chances 4 per 60. Neither of them showing out much in the individual metrics, as you might expect, although Foligno is there at 48th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, which is a respectable number. So of these two, who would you take, Blake, and do you have any hope that they can sustain any of this given how hot Bedard is?
No, I mean, I feel confident with Bedard, but these two guys, no, not really. And they had Tyler Johnson up on the top line with Bedard today. So, I mean, the deployment's not exactly rock solid either with these guys, right? They're kind of throwing in a blender here and there, but I mean, Nick Foligno, first off, category leagues. Yeah. This guy's a beefer. No question. He's getting power play time, and yeah, 44 point pace. That's pretty damn nice for a guy that has no business playing with a guy like Connor Bedard. It makes no sense. But Foligno seems like a beauty too. I've seen some mic'd up moments with him and Bedard, and I'm actually a fan of the player. So just the guy. So I, but again, for fantasy purposes, like, no, I'm not at all confident in what Foligno's bringing to the table. Kurashev, I mean, no, I'm not confident, but he's 24, right? And one thing I've liked about Kurashev dating back to last year is he was getting big minutes last year as well. Like, the Blackhawks have been a bad team for 2 years now, like a really bad team, where guys like Filip Kurashev are getting the 20-minute treatment. And just the fact that the coach puts him out there for 20 minutes, like, that says something about this player. Like, maybe he turns into a guy like JT Compher. I don't even know his profile, so I'm not comparing them directly, but like a guy that gets out there for big minutes, you know, but the metrics are stinky, and you know, maybe he gets some power play time. Like, I can see Kurashev as like a 50 point guy, you know, throughout his career, maybe one of those type of guys, like a middle six player. But on this team here, yeah, I think Kurashev has a better chance of staying with Bedard rest of the season, and that right there is gonna tip the scales to me for Kurashev. Plus, he's a young buck, so I like that.
Yep, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of what's going on there. Obviously, Foligno does give you a little bit more in the bangers categories if you're in a bangers cats, so you can look that way. But yeah, it was Foligno, for everyone's information, who was bumped off in favor of Tyler Johnson in that game. So be on the lookout for that as well if you are thinking about it there. We got to move over to Arizona. We got to talk about our boy, Nicky Schmaltz.
Oh, yeah.
Finally doing something.
I know.
Just 1 goal, but 7 assists for 8 points in his last 5. About 17:45 average time on ice through that stretch. Underlying metrics, not that great. 235 in shots per 60. 307 individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 182 Corsi 4 per 60, 132 scoring chances 4 per 60. Now on a 24-goal, 61-point pace. Yeah, what are we thinking of Mr. Nick Schmaltz at this point, Mr. Blake?
I'm here for it. I mean, he's just one of those guys, right? Like, the metrics are never good, but he'll bludgeon his way to points, right? Although this year that's been a little muted. Like, he's usually been a 20-minute guy. And if you look at his deployment over the past, you know, couple weeks, lots of 17-minute games, 18-minute games. you know, stuff like that. So it's not a slam dunk by any means, but this guy should be on a roster. There's no question. This is a prime example of a guy that's going right now and should be rostered right now. Right. Like, you know, 9 points in his last six games. Very nice. He's doing a lot of good work on the power play, too. Like, I'm just looking at his numbers here. He's already a career high, 21 power play points on the season. That's his career high. 10 power play goals. That's a career high. So, you know, it's his even strength hasn't actually been quite as good as it has been previously. Right. Like that line he had with Hayton and Keller was really good last year, whereas he hasn't really found that magic at even strength this year. But I think it's that power play production that's really been propping up his floor, and he's going right now. So get him on your rosters. This guy's good to go, and we're riding with the Nick Schmaltz train. Book it.
Yeah, looking at his metrics year to year, like I don't see a lot of change. He's actually slightly better in individual scoring chances 4/60 this year, slightly better in Corsi 4/60 this year, scoring chances 4/60 right about the same. It's really just a slight decrease in efficiency kind of across the board, IPP, shooting percentage, on-ice shooting percentage, and then the time on ice, as you mentioned. I do think that the loss of Hayton as a legit offensive talent in between him and Keller is something that has held Schmaltz down at times this year. Hayton, even when he's been healthy and has been there, has not been able to replicate anything close to the success he had last year. So that's kind of taken its hit on Nick Schmaltz. So overall, like, I'm not super concerned about the metrics because he's a guy who typically doesn't have great metrics. And on the season, they actually look pretty much the exact same as they usually do. It's just the efficiency and whether he can actually get better efficiency consistently from here on out, because that's what he needs to do to keep up the point pace. I think that, like, regardless, the schedule is kind of dictating this for me right now, especially looking ahead this week. As I mentioned, Arizona, Wednesday, Friday off nights, and then Sunday is the lightest of the heavy nights. So Schmaltz is a really good option for next week already. And so I think you're probably looking at him for that reason. And then, yeah, looking ahead even beyond that, if he stays on your lineup beyond then you're looking at a 3-0 off night week. And then you're starting to reevaluate things at that point. But I love Nick Schmaltz for the week upcoming. Just trying to stay in the flames there with him. So let's talk about another player who's obviously been hot as well. Jake DeBrusk, 3 goals, 7 points in his last 5, 60 and a half minutes average time on ice, 24th in the league in shots per 60, 5th in individual scoring chances 4/60 over that 5-game stretch, 22nd in on-ice scoring chances 4/60 as well. So some really good underlying metrics for DeBrusk. He's had a bit of a tough season, now up to 21 goals, 44-point pace. I thought that he was going to do better than that. I think you did as well, Blake. But talk to me about DeBrusk, what you're seeing right now. Do you think that he can hang on to, you know, maybe not 7 points every 5 games, but do you think he can be a valuable piece in the fantasy playoffs for some fantasy managers here?
Yeah, of course. You know, top six and chance to get on power play one. Like, he's been there very recently, right? It's him and Zacha are kind of switching spots there on power play one and two. So, you know, he was off power play one last game, but who's to say he doesn't get back on it here in the next couple games? That's totally within the realm of possibilities. But yeah, something this season that I wasn't expecting with Jake DeBrusk is his shot count, you know, shots to go per 60 to go down the way it has, right? It's just, that was something that was fairly consistent with him, like even in limited ice time. Right. But actually, you know, now that I'm looking at his metrics, it wasn't fairly consistent. Last season, it was consistent at like just his basic numbers. He was averaging 3 shots a game. But this season it's back down to 2.3, which is kind of, you know, average for him. So it could be that last season was the outlier, but I really thought that he took a step. And when they cleared out a bunch of pieces there in Boston, I thought that DeBrusk was going to be one of the main benefactors there. And it just hasn't really worked out that way. That said, I mean, like you said, like, he's in the flames right now. And I think this is something that could be sustainable rest of the season, right? The player's feeling good. He's figured it out. It looks almost like the tale of two seasons, or, you know, he wasn't really being prioritized early on. And now he's getting the job done, right? Not to mention this guy is great in category leagues, hits and blocks pretty well for a forward, especially this year. And yeah, if he gets power play one with any consistency, this guy's a tank. He's good to go. So I think with the schedule too, I mean, Nate, you were talking about this, but I think it's week 24. Boston has, you know, a Tuesday, Wednesday back to back, which, you know, this guy could be absolutely viable in there, and you can assess after that. I think he could be rostered for this week upcoming as well. So I don't know. Where are you at with DeBrusk, and what are you doing with him, Nate?
Yeah, I don't know if DeBrusk is somebody that you're picking up for this week because he does have that 3-game 0-off night schedule. So that's going to be tough to fit in unless you got a bunch of open spots. But it's hard to argue with what he's been able to put out in terms of his production as of late. Underlying metrics looking really good. Yeah, it was for week 24. So in a couple of those spots where I have a bye, I'm looking at Jake DeBrusk and wondering, should I be looking at this a little closer? Because they're just a heads up to everybody, week 24 is one of the worst streaming weeks of all time. And you're going to have to pull a rabbit out of your hat to get any kind of games played out of your streaming spots. So I'm looking at DeBrusk. I have an open spot on the Tuesday on one team. I can get the Tuesday, Wednesday as kind of an early week stream and then move on from there. Maybe move to a goalie stream later in the week or something like that. But that's how tight it is in some of these week 24 scenarios. So if you're similarly in a buy situation right now and looking ahead to week 24, or if you're still playing out the last week of your regular season, it doesn't have much impact on your finish, and you're looking ahead for an early week stream for week 24 to try to get ahead of that terrible week in terms of streaming, then Jake DeBrusk actually does make a lot of sense, in my opinion. All right, next up, Cam York, who has 5 assists in his last 5 games, skating 24 and a half minutes a night. Pretty strong stuff there. 83rd in shots per 60, 40th individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 28th in Corsi 4 per 60, and 29th in scoring chances 4 per 60, which is solid. York has a 32-point pace on the season, but the draw for York has been the fact that he's been getting on the top power play and running that unit along with Konechny, Tippett, Frost, and Farabee. Do you have interest in York, and how much should we trust John Tortorella moving forward?
I think this is classic stuff for Tortorella, like prioritizing the young guys towards the end of the season. And I feel pretty confident right now. I mean, who's competition, right? It's Travis Sanheim. It's Igor Zamula. All right. And I mean, York is cooking right now. So I feel about as confident as I can with the Tortorella coach team. But yeah, this is great. Big time minutes. The metrics look reasonable, right? With Cam York, I mean, they're decent, right? They're not as good as you'd hope, right? I was looking at him, and the way we have them on our sheet here, the defensemen and the forwards are separated. So the defenseman numbers are on just among defense. So, you know, if you see 83, you're like, oh, that's good, under 100. And then you're like, oh no, that's 83rd in defenseman. Yeah, so that's not as good, right? But anyways, 5 assists in 5 games. Love that. Love the power play deployment and love the time on ice. So I think if this guy's available, he should probably be on a roster. I don't have him anywhere because he's just not available anywhere, and he's rostered as I think he should be. But he's actually showing 11% rostered on Yahoo. So all the leagues I'm in, this guy's, he's not available. So what about you in your leagues, Nate?
Yeah, I haven't checked through to see if he's available in any of my leagues, to be honest with you. I'm not into these guys that much. He's available in one league. But I'm just not trusting Tortorella as far as I can throw him at this point. That's really what it is for me. And yeah, I mean, York has, like, if you're in a spot where, you know, you ran some sort of like 0D setup and you've got no defenseman out there and Cam York is out there, then yeah, he looks pretty appealing at this point. And they do have 4 games this week, so you can run into that. But if you have if you're in a 50 situation, then I don't think Cam York is playing over anybody else that you got most likely. And so I'm not sure that he's worth a pickup there. So really it's just a matter of, is there anybody else out there? Probably not. So Cam York might be the best guy for your 4D slot this week, if that's what you're looking for. But aside from that, I'm not super excited about Cam York. And you know, even just looking ahead past this week, then Philly has the dreaded 3-game 0-off night schedule. So he's not helping you out much beyond this week. But for a 1-week stream, I guess I could get behind Cam York if he is your 4th defenseman and you're just running 4 defensemen clean. All right, last up, Jurij Lakovský. He's got 5 points his last 5. He's kind of done this now. He's kind of bounced back and forth between the, some big stretch of play that got everybody excited, then went quiet. He had, let's look at this for a second. He had one goal in eight games. That was his only point in eight games. And then now in the last four, he's got that one goal and four assists. So a little bit of a roller coaster with Yuri Slafkovský here, but in the end, he's still playing over 19 minutes a night. The underlying metrics, not so hot. 284 shots per 60, 238 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 150 in Corsi, 4 per 60, and 99 in scoring chances, 4 per 60. What's your thoughts on Slafkovský now, Blake? Like, are you thinking that he's got a good shot to continue on?
This season, sure. It doesn't mean that I'm interested in having him on my roster. Right. Like, what I'm more interested in is what this is going to mean for him next year. Like, he's held this first line, first power play spot for a good chunk of the year, and he's done something with it. And I think that bodes really well for this player's value moving forward and the way he's going to be deployed. Right. And not to mention he has, 115 hits in 67 games, bang, 61 blocks for a forward in 67 games. That's excellent. So, and he's 19. So I think moving forward, like in the future, next year, this guy is going to be a viable player. He'll probably be drafted. I think, he can do something. But to me, I'm leaving him on the wire in my leagues right now. First off, because of the schedule, right? There's nothing schedule-wise that says get Slafkovský on your team for the next 2 weeks. So that's really what's driving me leaving him on the wire. But, if they had a good schedule, I'd be like all over it. This guy's getting a ton of deployment, and he's really kind of shown out, I think, in that limited time. So take a look, Slafkovský 2025. That's where we're at, right, Nate? You with me on this?
Yeah, I am interested, obviously, for next year. One place, I'll give an example in the Experts League where I did, trade away a lot of assets to try to get better draft capital for next year. Mm-hmm. I picked up Slafkovský because he's legitimately one of the guys that I'm hoping plays well for me to have a chance in these consolation playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so he's actually a semi-core player in that scenario. I'm probably not streaming him out. So in that scenario, he's got some value. I do think that there's always, I've mentioned this before, but there's always a few players from these teams that everybody leaves for dead that end up going off at the end of the year when everybody thinks Arizona can't do anything. No, there's no way anybody from Montreal is doing anything. There's always a few guys out there that do something, and it behooves us as fantasy managers to take note. So I do think Slafkovský's capable of that. I do think he's still a young player who's got a lot of roller coaster to his night in, night out performance at the moment. So you have to take all that in mind, but I'm cautiously optimistic about Slafkovský moving forward, despite the recent lack of underlying metrics. Okay. Let's take a slight break and talk about the Apples and Genos Discord server. If you haven't made your way in there and you're still listening to a fantasy hockey podcast on March 18th, 2024, what are you doing? Get into the Apples and Genos Discord server. Come talk to us. Tell us about your heartbreaks and your elation as you either lose or win in your fantasy hockey playoffs. We'll all be sharing stories, I'm sure, in there in the upcoming weeks. So come join us, Apples and Geos Discord server, link in the description. While you're in that description, if you're looking for somebody to give you some advice in these crucial weeks, then you can definitely find that in the Apples and Geos Patreon, $5 a month, and I'll answer any question you got. Lastly, if you have made it this far into the podcast, I think you're probably enjoying it. If you could give us a review or rating, any of that good stuff would be much appreciated. And if you're on YouTube, like and subscribe does help us out a lot. All right, Blake, we made it through all the ramblings. Are you ready for some have-nots?
The best part of this show is crapping all over these players. Oh, yeah, I'm super stoked. Let's go.
All right. Well, we got Troy Terry at the top here, which is not a player that I really want to crap all over. The one thing about Troy Terry is the two goals that he scored in the game that was going on while we were recording here. So he's got 2 goals. And he has been getting minutes again as of late, which is the interesting part. So the metrics that I have up are from the 5 games prior, where he had 0 points in 5 games. But he's still over 19 minutes a night, 225 in shots per 60, 298 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, on-ice numbers, not any better, 209 Corsi 4 per 60, 281 scoring chances, 4 per 60. On the season now, 23 goals, 62-point pace. What's your outlook rest of season with Troy Terry, and are you trying to hang on to him this week? The Anaheim Ducks do not have a great schedule, all on heavy nights.
Yeah, it sucks. Like this guy, I think, is going to be a casualty of schedule, really. And then the team he's playing on, like, you know, Mace McTavish is out, like Leo Carlson. We don't know what's going on with him. Yeah, he played the game tonight, so that's nice. But is he going to have more games off? Like, I think they're just kind of limping to the finish line, right? And Troy Terry's out there, you know, playing big minutes because there's no one else, right? So I'm not super confident in what Terry's doing right now. And obviously, you know, 0 points in 5 games before the couple goals tonight, that show ain't no good, right? But all, you know, again, with these old statistics here, he was on a 62-point pace, which is still decent. I mean, obviously a very viable player. We've been talking about this guy all season, that he should probably be on a roster. And I think he massively underachieved this year, right? But we did have a new coach in there. They prioritized other players like Mason McTavish, like Frank Vetrano, over Troy Terry at certain times. So it'll be interesting next season. This guy might be a guy who gets drafted really late, like in the 200s, and maybe pops for like a 70-point season. I could see that happening with Troy Terry, but it's going to take big minutes, I think. He's going to need that 19, 20 minutes every night and power play one, right, which he didn't always have this year. So long story short, yeah, I don't think, like, at least for week 23, Troy Terry, if you have to drop someone, I think that's a guy you could probably get off of. For week 24, Anaheim does have 4 games with 1 off night, right? But that off night is the Sunday, the 31st of March. So you're going to have to hold Troy Terry through another 3 games where he might not be making your lineup. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But overall on the player, it's a must roster player, but for schedule, no, I think you could probably drop him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do like Troy Terry. I think he's a better player than he's shown this year. I think, yeah, even Zegras being out for a lot of the year has hurt him. Like, he's had some connections at different times with different players like Leo Carlson, Alex Killorn even. But yeah, it's definitely been a revolving door around Troy Terry, and he's had a rough start to the season, then come on in a big way. But it is tough to see this Ducks team trying to get across the finish line here. It does seem like it's a bit too much effort for any one team to have to go through the way they are straggling to the line. What is a Duck?
What the hell is a Duck? My God, somebody tell us. Give me somebody just send me the Wikipedia link. My computer's not working right now. All right.
Let's move over to Detroit and talk about Alex DeBrincat, now pointless in 6 straight games. Minutes have taken a beating, down to 16:45 in the last 5 games, even below that in the last couple here. So DeBrincat's underlying stats are still okay. 93rd in shots per 60, 49th individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. What are you thinking about DeBrincat at this point? We talked a bit about him as a potential drop in, you know, some scenarios where you're like just scared of putting him out there anyway. And so if he's not making your starting lineup, what are you hanging on to him for? But do you still feel the same way about DeBrincat? Is there anything, any hope that you can give to Alex DeBrincat managers?
No. Hey, this is hopeless, folks. I'm sorry to say, but with this deployment, no. Alex DeBrincat is, he's not even a 60-point man with this deployment. It's kind of worst case scenario at the worst possible time for Alex DeBrincat owners, right? And I am one. I had him in a lot of spots this year. I traded him twice for Ovechkin, straight up, and I feel good about that. I don't know. I think I'm maybe coming out ahead on that slightly. But yeah, I unless he's getting more minutes and more time on the power play, like, he's doing nothing out there. And I know that, like you said, the metrics are reasonable, and they are, right? But first off, hit the net, buddy. Like, what are you doing? You know, he's 30th in chucking pucks, and he's 93rd in shots to go per 60. So, you know, he's not hitting the net, and he's not out there for very long. I'm just, I don't feel very good about what I'm seeing from DeBrincat. And yeah, I don't know, nothing that he's done over the past little while has really changed my mind with that. And not to mention like the hits that he normally brings, like this is a guy who got over 100 hits for two straight seasons. And now, you know, he's not going to come close to that. So his power play performance as well, terrible. It's just an off year for DeBrincat, and this could equal value next season, but I don't know. If this is kind of his role on this team, it's not going to equal value. This might be the player he is if he's going to continue to be deployed like this.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take, to be honest with you. It's not a great spot, not on the Patrick Kane power play unit. Your best hope with DeBrincat is that Larkin comes back quick and he's on that line again and on that power play unit again. But yeah, it's hard to be optimistic at the moment. It's hard to drop a guy like this because you know the talent's there. We've seen the proof of concept with Alex DeBrincat, and we know that he's capable of going off at any given moment. And it doesn't seem like it's for a lack of effort, but it does a little bit seem like it's for a lack of ice time and anything to play with around him outside of Patrick Kane. So I am nervous about Alex DeBrincat. If you do find yourself in a spot where you're going to be benching him on every night this week because of the heavy nights that Detroit plays, then I do think it's a real possibility that you could drop Alex DeBrincat in a must-win scenario. All right, let's talk about some Seattle guys, because I do think that there's going to be a lot of people in on Seattle for this week. Jordan Eberle, you know, you got Ely Tolvanen. Neither of these guys are doing anything. Eberle, one assist, his last five, and the same for Tolvanen. So Eberle is the one that interests me, mostly because of the fact that he's played almost 20 minutes a night the last five games. Underlying metrics, I mean, Eberle's always been a little bit more of an efficiency guy than a, you know, extreme shot generator or anything like that, but 139th in shots per 60 is about as good as you should expect from Jordan Eberle, but 328th in individual scoring chances for per 60 is not a great number. 265 Corsi 4 per 60, 335 on ice scoring chances 4 per 60. And I mean, he's playing with Jared McCann, Matty Beniers at even strength. He's playing with McCann, Tolvanen, Beniers on the power play. Like, that should be better. That's a little bit concerning for sure. Over to Tolvanen, 110th in shots per 60, 257 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, and similarly 224 in Corsi 4 per 60, 281 in scoring chances, 4 per 60, skating 16 minutes a night is Tolvanen with Bjorkstrand and Gord at even strength. So of the two, who are you taking? What do you think of the situation? Are you willing to take the bet just because the streaming schedule is not that great and Seattle is sitting here with the 4-game, 2-off-night schedule, including the Sunday heavy night, which you might be able to work in as well? What's your take here, Blake?
Well, my take is, Nate, it's probably Eberle. Like, neither of these feel good, right? Because, they're just... like, we're looking at donuts here. This stinks, right? But I mean, they have 4 games and 2 off nights next week. We have to be rostering some Seattle players. So we have to start prioritizing what we're looking at here. And that's like, we're looking at deployment, we're looking at opportunity, and we're looking at metrics, right? And metrics went out the window with these two players. Like, things aren't looking super good there. Eberle is getting 20 minutes tonight, 21 minutes in 2 straight games. That's huge, right? Especially on this team. And then, you know, 2 games before that, he was sitting at 19 and a half minutes, basically. So he's getting prioritized. He's not doing a damn thing with it, but I mean, he's getting all the power play time as well. So I think if anyone is going to bust out of this little funk, the first guy I think is going to be Eberle, no question to me. And then, you know, Tolvanen, like, we know what, you know, where he makes his bacon, right? And that's in Cats leagues. This guy is smashing, like, 163 hits in 66 games for Tolvanen. That's valuable, right? 67 blocks in 66 games. That's insanely valuable for a forward. So we're not here to talk Yang on Ely Tolvanen. Like, but in terms of offense, like, we're going to need to see a lot more, right? Like, he's getting the 15 minute treatment here. His line is decent. You know, in terms of like tilting the ice a little bit at certain times this year, I haven't looked into it recently, but that line is a good, you know, middle six line for just getting some momentum back for the team. But the problem with Seattle is too, like, they're out of it. They have no chance at making the playoffs, making the wild card. So what are we going to see here from the next little bit? Are they going to be putting the lines in a blender? Are they going to be throwing out, you know, prioritizing different guys? Like, Seattle doesn't have anything to play for. So I don't know. I would take Eberle first and Tolvanen, but it's not going to feel good, but you kind of have to do it, right? So is that sort of the way you see it as well, Nate?
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Yeah, Bangers, Cats, and Tolvanen obviously has a lot more appeal because of what he brings in the peripheral situations, and you can hope for a little bit of a hot streak in terms of the points. 42-point pace now on the season for Tolvanen, 49 for Eberle, for context. Yeah, in terms of point scoring, I would take Eberle, and then, yeah, maybe in a Bangers Cats, you might lean back Tolvanen's way, but it's going to be a little bit of a hold your nose and do it situation either way. Another hold your nose situation is Dylan Strome currently in Washington. He has points in none of his last four games. Prior to that, he'd been on a point per game pace since like before Christmas, I think, but yeah. In the last four games, it's not been good, but that's why he's going to rebound just in time for my streamer of the week in the death match that we have this week, Blake. He's going to bring me back. I have full confidence in Dylan Strome, despite the fact that he has 206th in shots per 60 in the last five games, 285th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 141 in Corsi 4 per 60, and 121 in scoring chances, 4 per 60. What are you seeing from Strome? Obviously still on the top line, but they've been moving those 5v5 lines around. Is that of concern to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his deployment is the biggest concern for me because, yeah, all season, again, this is another guy kind of like Nick Schmaltz, right? Like, he just does it. Yeah. He just gets it done, but the metrics never really show out. But, like, if you look at his last couple games here, like, you know, just under 15 minutes he played against Vancouver in a win, right? A close win. They won 2-1 there. So, I mean, I guess that makes sense. He's not a defensive player, but, you know, a couple 17-minute games, 15 minutes, a 13-minute game against Pittsburgh where he did get three assists, but it's just not to my liking. I you know, but again, must roster player for this week coming up. You got to have some Dylan Strome on your team with that schedule. There's no question in my mind. This is a guy that's shown that he can absolutely pop off. He's on a 63-point pace. He might, you know, reach that. I that wouldn't surprise me, you know, but it's not going to feel good, right? Like, I like that. Yeah. Hold your nose and just click the button, you know, and get Dylan Strome on your team. If he's out there, he's got to be on your roster, but it is a bit concerning, right? Like, if you look at, you know, some of the lines here. So who's he playing with recently? Tom Wilson. And, can you pronounce this man's last name for me? Ivan Mershishmego.
Yeah.
They were at even strength of the lowest deployed line for the Capitals in that game against the Canucks, right? So as we said, right, they're looking at, you know, maybe a more defensive setup to kind of, you know, preserve the lead. But yeah, it's not what you want to see, right? And then he's with Tom Wilson is his go-to there. And this other guy, you know, I don't even have a take on Miro Shnichenko. Oh God, it's a lot of consonants in there, and I'm here for it. All right, the more consonants, the better. All right, that's what I'm saying right now. I'm digressing on Ivan Shnichenko. But yeah, Dylan Strome, you got to have him. It's not going to feel good. I don't know. I got nothing else. Although I hope this week, you know, I hope he gives you just enough. You know what? I hope Dylan Strome pops the hell off. I just hope Anthony Duclair goes freaking berserk. All right. I hope everybody eats. Shout out to Dylan Strome. I want, you know, everybody who streams him in to eat here. So there you go. Wait, how do you feel about your boy?
I still feel pretty much the same way that I've always felt about Dylan Strome. I think he's probably roughly the player he has been on the season, 27 goals, 63-point pace. It is concerning, definitely, to be moved down the lineup at 5v5. I still feel like at some point that's probably going to change. Like, are they really going to just, like, run out Connor McMichael with Alex Ovechkin for the rest of the season? That feels a bit crazy to me, but I don't know. Stranger things have happened for sure. Like, the metrics are all really solid for Strome. He's actually got the best shots per 60 of his career going on right now.
Nice.
Best Corsi 4 per 60 as well. Like, really solid stuff kind of across the board from Dylan Strome. So I do think this is kind of the player that he is. But yeah, getting more exposure to Ovechkin as the only really, like, elite, or maybe he's not elite anymore, but at least the best offensive player there in Washington by a landslide is Ovechkin. So that's the exposure that you want to see. I'm still holding out hope for it, but I do think that Dylan Strome can get it done for me one more week. All right, I want to talk some defensemen here. Now, the first one up is Jacob Chychrun, and Chychrun deserves some time spent because this has been one hell of a cold streak for Mr. Jacob Chychrun. I can't even count all these zeros. I think I'm looking at 1 point in his last 15 games, maybe, something like that. So that is incredibly atrocious for a guy who's skated 20 plus minutes in all but one of those games and much more in many of them. What is your take on Jacob Chychrun? The man is third amongst all defensemen in shots per 60 and eighth in Corsi 4 per 60, sixth on ice scoring chances 4 per 60, but all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, last 15 games, the man can't buy a point. What's your take on Chychrun?
It's rough. I can't lie about that. I have him in three spots and I've held through this time, right? Like, this is shades of Brandon Montour, but the difference is the Panthers are a good team, right? Yeah. Like, you know, Ottawa stinks and it's not getting any better, right? Like, it's actually a bit shocking to me, the downturn of Ottawa, even with the new coach there. Like, it's like Jacques Martin has no business being behind the bench. Like he can't get anything out of his players. They're listless out there. And then, guys like Jacob Chychrun, what happened? You know, like, look at these metrics. These metrics are crazy. And I love metrics, as much as the next guy. But this right here, this time of year, is where you have to go where the getting's good, right? You have to get players on your team that are performing. And I'm not really willing to wait. If I'm in a spot where I need to win, I'm not willing to wait on Jacob Chychrun to figure it out. You know what I mean? I'd go pick up Cam York, right? Like, that is something I would absolutely do. Even with these metrics here, like, you know, if it was a different point in the season, like halfway point of the season, like, there's no question I'm holding Chychrun through all this. I did, right? And to be clear, I'm not dropping Chychrun anywhere because I don't have any other options that I think are better. Right. I'm going to hold Chychrun. I'm going to continue to hold Chychrun. He's getting in my lineup. Right. But it stinks. But yeah, I mean, you got to look at some options out there and maybe pick up the hot hand. Right. Guys like, I mean, you know, I'm not saying do this, but what about Miramanov on Calgary? Right. Like, you know, that's we're looking at flyers at this point. Right. Instead of taking zeros from Jacob Chychrun, you know, maybe get something who's or a guy's actually putting some points on the board. So I don't know. Where are you at with Jacob Chychrun? And is that any of that tracking with you?
So where I'm at with Jacob Chychrun is I just can't quit the metrics, man.
yeah, totally.
They're just so good that I really can't quit it. He's been actually on the top power play, sharing time there with Jake Sanderson, and they've been running Stützle to Chuck Batherson up front. And that's been, like a true top power play unit that they've been running. So that part is in his favor more than it's ever been to at any point in the season before. Maybe it is like the, with all these defensemen that we're going to talk about, maybe it is the Cam York test. Like, do you want this guy over Cam York? For me, the answer to that is still yes, without a doubt. Cam York dreams about having five game stretches where he's third amongst all defensemen shots.
I'm sure he does. Yeah.
I'm sure that's the primary, dream that he has.
He's a big fan of the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Big fan. I can't honestly in good conscience drop Jacob Chychrun when he's still pumping pucks on net, when he's in the best deployment that he's ever had here in Ottawa. Like, I recognize that Ottawa is in a bit of a funk right now and the coaching is probably not doing them any favors at this point. I think they're clashing again with the coach to some extent, if not outwardly, then at least with their own stylistic leanings. So that's all not working in their favor, but I just have to believe that the metrics will come through. And Ottawa with a four-game week this week, I don't think you can drop him for that. If we come back next week and he's still on the list, then maybe we'll have a different conversation. But for this week, with a four-game week, I think I'm still holding. Let's talk about a couple of other names that you might not be holding. So I'm actually in one spot. I have both Chychrun and I have Filip Hronek, who remains ice cold himself. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Hronek a little bit before, but he just 1 point in his last seven here. Not a great stretch for Hronek. I'm kind of not really seeing anything different going on like too much. I guess the underlying metrics are a little bit down from where you'd hope to see him. 98th in shots per 60, 44th in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60, 102nd in on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60 for Hronek. I'm looking ahead at the fact that Vancouver is one of two teams with two off nights in week 24, and I'm thinking, okay, if I get there, then Hronek is going to be like the best player available if I drop him. But if I don't get there and Hronek continues to put up zeros like this, then what's it all been for? So Hronek versus Chychrun, give me that one. And then does the week 24 factor into your thinking at all?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, in a bubble, it's Chychrun all day, every day. There's no question. Even in this, you know, this funk. But yeah, that's tough. But we got to get there, right? That's the key part. So, I mean, you're going to have to suss that out for yourself, folks. But I mean, if, you know, you're holding Hronek here and he gives you just absolute donuts in the game against Buffalo on Tuesday, like, I don't know. I think like we can't think about week 24 when we're getting smashed in week 23. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But yeah, best case scenario, I'm holding Hronek until week 24. Then he becomes an amazing streamer for that week, like one of the best streamers. So yeah, that's kind of the situation. But everything I said about Chychrun, I would say that about Hronek, except Hronek, the metrics are not even close to what Chychrun has. So yeah, it's all schedule based with Hronek.
Fair enough. All right. I want to compare and contrast two more defensemen here. Charlie McAvoy, pointless in his last seven games. And then the other one is one Rasmus Anderson. And Rasmus Anderson has not been doing a whole heck of a lot either. He's pointless in his last six. Underlying metrics for both these guys, pretty atrocious kind of across the board. The best metric, is, you know, in Boston, you got Charlie McAvoy 22nd in on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60, which is a good number, down to 54th in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60. His individual metrics are worse than Anderson's, but Anderson's on-ice numbers are worse than McAvoy's. That's probably just a function of the fact that Anderson is not getting top power play and McAvoy is at the moment. McAvoy is getting over 23.5 minutes a night, Anderson getting over 22.5 minutes a night, so they're playing the heck out of both these guys still, but the numbers have not been there for quite some time, a couple of weeks at this point for both of these guys. Who are you taking in, you know, standard points? I think in most spots you're taking McAvoy just for hits, which is something that McAvoy's typically done. If you're in a, like a Bangers Cat scenario, although McAvoy hasn't thrown a hit in his last two games either. Before that,
what are you doing, Charlie?
I think in Bangers Cats, I'm still taking McAvoy pretty comfortably, but is it a question between the two in a point setup? Are you considering dropping either both of these players, Blake?
Not a question to me. McAvoy is the clear winner of those two. And yeah, I am considering dropping Rasmus Anderson. Right. I'm just like, Calgary has been doing some decent work here, you know, putting together some good wins, some good play. Right. But this guy, even with Noah Hanifin out now, he's still not getting power play one. That's, you know, they're obviously going a different way. They want to see what they have in Miramanov. So they're giving him the keys, at least for now. And that could be something that Anderson does take back at some point of the year. So, you know, that, keep that in mind, but we can't wait for that. He's not getting it currently. And this kid Miramanov is getting over 20 minutes a night. So we just have to kind of look at it for what it is at this point of the season. So yeah, I'm definitely taking McAvoy. He's power play one. That's not going anywhere. He's just in a funk, right? He's in a cold stretch here, but I really feel like that should pop back up. He's on a 56 point pace. You know, I think that's reasonable. If he paces for that, that would not surprise me at all. Deployment is great. That said, schedule wise too, like Calgary has an off night. They're one of four teams that play on the Monday in week 23. So if you're looking at dropping Rasmus Anderson, maybe you want to hold off until after the Monday, right? And then, you know, you can make some moves. You can jump on a team, you know, well, it's still slim picking there, but yeah, you can maybe jump on a team that has more games, like a, you know, Carolina starts their four games on Tuesday. But it all depends where you can get these players in. So take it for what it's worth. But what are you doing? Is it a clear McAvoy for you, Nate?
Yeah, it's clearly McAvoy for me. I just can't get past the deployment. And I do think that the player's just a better caliber of player overall, and the top power play is cemented there, in my opinion. So I'll take that. I'm not considering McAvoy, dropping McAvoy in any spot where I have him. Anderson, I am definitely considering dropping him, even in 14-team leagues. Like, if he's not on the top power play, then your best case scenario is that he's like a 40-point-ish player with minimal peripherals. Like, he's not that dude for me. So I am definitely considering dropping Anderson for the fantasy playoffs if I do have him. All right, let's get over to another segment. Let's talk under the hood with one Mr. Alex Nylander, the other Nylander. Last 10 games before today's game, 17.01 average time on ice, 5th in shots per 60, 18th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 2nd in on-ice Corsi 4 per 60, 13th in on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60. Blake, what do we make of Alex Nylander finally making an impression on the league after bouncing around from team to team to team? Do you think there's anything to these metrics being so good?
He's a talented offensive player. I think that's always been known for this type of player, but he's never gotten any kind of opportunity whatsoever. Like, his highest ice time ever prior to this season was his, that's like three games. No, he's playing like 12 minutes a night, basically, for three straight seasons. So he's never got an opportunity to play with anyone offensive, to do anything offensive, right? He's kind of just been a journeyman at age 26, which is so strange. This is a nice story end of season, but look at all the players that are injured in Columbus. Look at what's going on there in Columbus, right? Like, it's not a great situation. This guy's, you know, filling a hole, giggity, for the team right now. So it just, strike while the iron's hot. I think this guy can absolutely be rostered if you're looking at getting a Columbus player, but does this translate into any kind of production, or is he this player next year? I don't think so. I mean, I don't think we'll be talking about Nylander too much next year. You know, maybe like, I mean, I don't even know if he's under contract right now, or like what his contract situation is, if he'll even be with Columbus next year. If he is, maybe we see like a middle six role, but like we got so many studs there on Columbus that were just, you know, stifled by Pascal Vincent, this King Dingus of head coach there. Like, are they going to put him out there over like, you know, some of these Russian beauties there on Columbus? I don't know. So it's nice to see. I think he's rosterable right now, but I don't see it continuing past this season. What about you, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to predict that a guy is going to absolutely take the league by storm after a 12-game sample with Columbus here. Nylander is up after this year playing, I think that's league minimum now, $775,000 a year. It's close to league minimum if it's not.
I take that.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, but he's been earning it as of late. Yeah, that's for sure. Some really good numbers here. I mean, it's a little bit of a proof of concept to me for him to keep this up for over a 10-game stretch and in some decent minutes as well. Basically, he's just progressed up and up the Columbus lineup, and he's produced at every stop along the way, and the underlying metrics have been terrific all the way up as well. So that part gives me some interest in the player as a whole. I don't know that he's got a lot of significance for the fantasy playoffs here. Columbus has three games with one off night this week, and then three games, zero off nights next week. So I don't know if Nylander is really cracking your lineup in a lot of these scenarios to a point where he's like somebody that you're going out to pick up right now. But overall, I'm a little bit interested in what Nylander's been able to put on here. And at the very least, I'm going to be watching where he goes next year. I mean, honestly, I'd like to see him go to a team that doesn't have a lot of offensive talent and see if he
can find Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. If he went over to Chicago and found himself alongside Connor Bedard and on the top power play over there next year, like, I don't know, we could be looking at something. I'm just saying that this is a sustained stretch of play at a very, very high level. Not just a high level, but a very, very high level. And that means something to me. So regardless, like, I mean, even if he's in the same situation next year where, you know, some guys get injured on a team and he's thrust into action, I'll be a lot quicker on the trigger finger with Alex Nylander because of this stretch.
It's a good data point.
For sure. Let's move over to move of the week. Blake, what do you got?
Nothing groundbreaking here, but just a little tinkering I did in one of the leagues where I have a bye. Swapped out a clearly better player with better opportunity for a lesser player with a better schedule. So I had Brock Faber, who's still quarterbacking power play one there in Minnesota. They're still playing reasonably. They lost their last game, unfortunately, but they're clinging on to life. And Faber's still playing a bunch, but metrics are not great. I traded him swapped him out for the power glove. Oh yeah, the power glove, Owen Power, because Buffalo has that sweet, sweet two off nights in week 24, which is going to be my first week of the playoffs. So yeah, it's just a simple tinker move, but I feel that Faber is the better player currently right now. So I dropped him and picked up a player where I'm actually going to get him into games. And I felt pretty good about that. I felt good about myself. So I don't know. You feel good about that, Nate?
It really does seem like you're really trying to feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Come on. Just help me out. I have very low self-esteem. I need some validation.
All right. I'm not sure how much I can help you with that, but I do think that the move is valid. For week 24, if you're looking ahead to week 24, you need to pull out all the stops to try to figure out how to get some off nights that week, because you are going to be benching players a lot in week 24. So don't mind that. For myself, just a word to the wise, maybe a word to anybody who's still playing the last week of the regular season this week before heading into playoffs. Thought I was sitting pretty for both of the buys that I mentioned at the top of the show. It was, two lower rated teams that I was playing out of the playoff hunt. They played pretty well, and I ended up having to stream pretty hard. I used up all my ads by Friday, which is not usually a place I like to be in. But to be honest, it's worth it all to secure and ensure that buy. So that's really something that I think that a lot of managers need to take seriously. Like, they'll see that they're sitting in second or something. They'll be like, I'm sitting pretty. I don't need to worry too much. They'll take the foot off the gas pedal. A bad team will get hot for that week and they'll beat you. And then you're like, wait, I didn't get the bye. What happened? So you need to, keep the foot on the gas pedal and make sure you secure that bye, because when you have that bye, it really does set you up. You have a whole week to make ads, to pick up players that are dropped by teams desperate to, get an extra game played to win their week. There's just so much that you can get done with a bye. So make sure that you get your buys. It is absolutely worth it. In that other league that I mentioned that I thought I could maybe have an outside shot at getting the bye, I was in third, but the way that the matchups shaped up, there was no way to catch second place. So I looked ahead with the last ad and I grabbed the Washington streamer early with my last ad of the week. So that's another way to look at it. If you are in contention, if your last ad of the week is not going to help you out, then do make sure that you're setting yourself up for playoffs here. All right. Last up, we need to recap the head-to-head stream deathmatch, which we do have some unfortunate
recap
news.
Away.
Yeah, we do have some unfortunate news. Blake, everybody's villain, has taken the W this week with Alexis Lafreniere, 17.25 points to my Quentin Byfield's 12.75 points. Lafreniere's goal today was the difference. So
you didn't need to tell him that, but that's fine.
You did take it home. That's 11-10 for Blake on the season. So kudos to you, my good sir. This week, as we mentioned, we got my Dylan Strome versus Blake's Anthony Duclair. Stromer's going to take it home for me, even things back up, I have no doubt. But Blake, what do you have to say for yourself? Do you have any gloating in you?
Word to Big Bird. Oh yeah. Oh my God. It was never in doubt. You know that, Nate. All right. Come on. That's fine. This one right here, I'm excited. Duclair, he's getting power play one, Nate. All right. You nervous? Maybe.
Never any nerves. Just nervous as steel over here. All right. Well, that's all we've got for the episode. Hopefully it brought you some value. I hope you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.